Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
In your book, you describe Kelsey as a kid who was kind of a high-maintenance child.
How did a girl like you get to be a girl like you?
Well, I'm just a typical little girl.
I remember seeing a part where I think she was about 6 years old, and she actually pushed the babysitter down the stairs, and there was another time one was up in a tree.
Yeah, and we got home, she was treed. She wouldn't come down until we get back.
Well, it seems like we've learned a new term here at the start of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Has one of your kids ever treed a babysitter? Well, today on the program, you're going to hear parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns talking with author and speaker Rick Johnson about how a father's love protects and empowers his daughter. And he's talking about his daughter, Kelsey, and the rather tumultuous relationship they had when she was in high school that he chronicles in his book, That's My Girl. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. More on how you can experience the APU experience using social media in just a moment. First, though, thanks for remembering that Homeward is a completely listener-supported broadcast outreach, and we appreciate your prayers and financial support. You can give a gift online at homeward.com. And now with part one of today's program, here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Very excited today. Rick Johnson is with us. We're talking about how a father's love protects and empowers his daughter. And as many of you know, I have three daughters, so I'm paying attention. Rick Johnson is my go-to guy when it comes to some of the parenting issues. He's written a wonderful book called That's My Girl, How a Father's Love Protects and Empowers His Daughter. And he's written a number of other best-selling books, The Man Whisperer, Better Dad, Stronger Sons, Becoming Your Spouse's Better Half. He's married to Suzanne. They live in Gresham, Oregon. They've got two adult children. We are thrilled to invite him back to the Homeward world today. Welcome, Rick. Glad to have you.
Hi, Jim. It's my pleasure.
Well, you know, we oftentimes do not talk on the phone, but we wanted you on so bad, we wanted to get you on the phone. And so we're doing Homeward via phone today instead of in the studio. But I do remember the last time we were in the studio, I think it was raining in Oregon, and it was a beautiful Southern California day where our studio is. And you were liking being in Southern California at that time.
I'm wishing I was down there right now because it's still raining here in Portland.
So. Well, this is kind of a beach day for us, so we're liking this day. Hey, there's an old nursery rhyme that talks about little girls being made of sugar and spice and everything nice. But you described a season with your daughter, Kelsey, as vinegar and vodka and all sorts of drama. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting. Our daughter is what we affectionately refer to as very strong-willed. And in fact, my publisher had asked me to write this book a number of years ago, and Kelsey, our daughter, was a teenager at that time, and I was really reluctant to write it. I was like, we need to really wait and see how things turn out here before I pass myself off as some sort of an expert on raising daughters.
Hey, by the way, that was me too. I wrote Teenology after my kids went through the teens because I've got three strong-willed daughters. So you and I are blood brothers on this one.
Oh, and I was thinking your daughters were perfect.
Oh, no.
You were going to be able to relate to what I was talking about.
No. I'm closer to the vinegar and vodka than I am to the sugar and spice.
Well,
and,
you know,
and yet they do grow up, don't they?
Yeah, thankfully. And she grew up to be a fine young woman. We actually speak together at father-daughter conferences around the country. And she's turned out to be a great young woman. But, you know, there were definitely some challenges there. It was kind of touch and go for a while, and I wasn't too sure how things were going to work out. So,
you know, I actually love hearing that from people who write books about how to protect and empower their daughters because, you know, life isn't perfect. And you know, in your book, you describe Kelsey as a kid who was kind of a high-maintenance child. And I remember seeing a part where I think she was about 6 years old, and she actually pushed the babysitter down the stairs, and there was another time one was up in a tree.
Yeah, we got home, she was treed. She wouldn't come down until we get back. It was interesting. Well, you know, the interesting part is she really made me a better father.
Yeah.
I was a much better father to her than I was to our older son, who was a very compliant child and really didn't require me to stretch and grow as a man or a father. And so, you know, I while it wasn't easy, I think it was a really good thing to have to go through a lot of that kind of stuff because it definitely gave me material to write a book about.
Yeah, sure. You know, I was recently on a radio broadcast, and they said, Jim, what has kept you close to God? And I said, I know I'm supposed to say the Bible and great sermons, but it's actually three daughters who didn't do it perfect and a high-maintenance marriage, even though we write books on marriage. And, you know, I know with my own kids, you know, there were times when I just needed to go, God, I have no idea what to do. Please,
and isn't
please
that
help
the truth?
Me.
And that's really what it is. It's really a reliance on God to be able to continue and hang in there. You know, and interesting that you bring that up, I actually used God with my daughter during times where I would say to her things like she'd want to do something. I'd say, you know what, I'd really like to let you do that, but I'm accountable to God. I don't want to, you know, my role, my job is to protect you. I don't want to have to try to explain to God why I made a decision to allow you to do something that I knew wasn't in your best interest. And she actually bought it. It's the fact that I was accountable to a higher authority,
And I appreciate you saying that because, you know, and you said it right. I think sometimes people can use God as toxic. You know, God's going to get you if, and all of a sudden they don't like you or God because, you know, he's kind of getting the blame for some of the stuff. And so I like the way you did it. I've heard other stories where I think sometimes dads will, you know, kind of do the, you know, God's going to get you stuff. And I go, oh, no, don't put, because it's so closely related when we talk about spirituality. We'll talk about that later. But when we talk about spirituality, you know, a lot of times how a dad treats his daughter is how she is going to approach what God is like, don't you think?
Well, there's absolutely a direct relationship between the two.
Now, I saw a very interesting thing in, again, a great book, That's My Girl, How a Father's Love Protects and Empowers His Daughter. I saw a great thing. It was very fascinating. It was a Canadian study, I think, that you shared. Boys tend to be more aggressive on the outside, while girls practice mental and emotional aggression on the inside. Help us kind of get our arms around that.
Well, I think a lot of times, especially with traumatic situations, for instance, divorce or you know, the breakup of a family can be very traumatic for a child. And I think boys tend to act out in those types of, they'll become angry, they'll become aggressive. Girls, however, tend to turn that anger inward on themselves, and so we see them suffering a lot more from things like depression, eating disorders, cutting, you know, all those kinds of
self-injury type things.
Exactly, self-harm kind of behaviors.
Well, that is interesting, and I think that was an aha for me to just be reminded of that once again, that, you know, they'll practice this mental and emotional aggression, but many times that's from the inside, and you do see that, more eating disorders, more girls cut themselves and do bodily harm than boys. And actually, even when you start looking at suicide, you know, there's kind of a different approach to it, and that's fascinating. I thought it was interesting in terms of the depth of a relationship with a father. You talked about your daughter, Kelsey, watching, I believe it was a television show, and it was an acting class. And basically, the lesson was that they needed these top model, you know, people to cry, and so the teacher suggested, with a blank piece of paper and some instruction, pretend that it was a note from your father saying he was leaving and never wanted to see you again. What happened?
Yeah, I was stunned. Every one of the young women that were in this acting class just burst out crying. I mean, literally. And after a few minutes, the acting coach said, okay, now I want you to release your anger at your father by ripping up these notes. And these girls just, you know, just mangled these pieces of paper. And literally, these girls were either the best actresses already I've ever seen, or it really illustrated the power of that father-daughter relationship that I think most of us men really don't recognize. I mean, even as a, you know, I do this stuff for a living, Jim. You and I know all this stuff. And I think even when my kids were growing up, I really didn't, I mean, I knew I was important, but I really didn't, especially with my daughter, realize how important, literally every word I spoke and every action I did. My daughter was hypersensitive to what I was doing and how I was doing it.
Yeah, you know, it is important as for dads for us to understand the incredible influence and impact. It's also difficult because, like you say, a lot of times our daughters are sensitive. I not only had the strong-willed girls, but I had sensitive girls. And, you know, I might say something, I had to be careful with how I teased. I had to be careful with, you know, with teasing about a boy or about, you know, never want to talk about a pimple on the face or things like that. And yet with guys, that's much more natural. You can kind of, you know, you show love. My dad showed me love by, you know, kind of punching me around in fun. I'm not talking about hitting, but, you know, punching and teasing me about the girls or whatever. And I thought that was neat. But my girls, on the other hand, I tried that a little bit in early teens and went, oh, this is not going to work here.
Yeah, and you know, words mean so much to females anyway, much more than they do to males.
Right.
You know, males are much more performance-oriented. Our actions speak louder than our words. And
right.
and a lot of times as guys, I don't think we think about what
right.
we say.
Right.
And but women do. Females
yeah.
do. They think a lot about what was said and,
yeah.
and what people say to them. And a lot of times that's why we're always apologizing is because we don't think about what we say.
I love that phrase, always apologizing, because we haven't thought about that. You know, many studies, you say in your book, show that girls who have a close relationship with dad even do better in school. Talk about that influence.
Yeah, in fact, literally any area of life that you can study or determine outcomes in, a healthy relationship with both sons and daughters, kids do better in. But particularly girls, you know, there's some interesting studies that have been done on everything from earlier cognitive abilities development when they're younger to doing, you know, much better in the type of men they select later on in
yeah.
life.
Yeah.
Promiscuity, you know, how many sexual partners they have
right.
in life. All those types of things are directly related to the type of relationship that a girl
yeah.
has with her
yeah.
father.
You know, and that does put pressure on dads. And I've talked to dads who are heartbroken because they were good dads, and yet their daughters still made, you know, poor decisions. And I want to talk a little bit about girls and hormones that are on overdrive when they're in their teens when we come back. We're going to take a break. Rick Johnson is with us. We're talking about how a father's love protects and empowers his daughter. Great book.
And the book is called That's My Girl. It's a book that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. And we appreciate the fact that, you know, here in 2012, you know, guys like Rick Johnson are saying, look, it is possible to weather the storm. If you are a dad listening to us right now and you've got one of those relationships with your daughter where it's a head scratch and you say, hey, wait a minute. I mean, I thought I was doing everything right and my daughter's still acting out. She's sneaking out and taking the car and, you know, treeing the babysitter, as we talked about earlier. This is a resource that you'll want to get your hands on. And also go to homeward.com, too, because when you look at the resources that we have for you there, especially dads, the Good Advice Parent Newsletter, Homeward's Culture Brief, tell you what's really going on in the world of teenagers right now. You can get those absolutely free. Those subscriptions are free to start. Just go to homeward.com if you're not there already. The two resources you want to look for are Homeward's Culture Brief, comes out every Friday, and also the Good Advice Parent Newsletter. More with Dr. Jim Burns and Rick Johnson in just a moment as Homeward continues.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Ugh, what happened to you, Tina? You hardly look like yourself this morning. Oh well, as soon as I fix my hair, put on my face, I'll look like me again. Whoever me is. Lord, who am I anyway?
I think you're an exceptional student, Tina. I know you'd never disappoint your mother by bringing home a bad grade.
You're daddy's little girl, Tina. You'll always be 5 years old to me.
Tina, you're such a brain. I hate you because you're so smart.
Tina, it's Heather. You're daydreaming again. Stop hogging the bathroom. We're going to be late for school.
Boy, girls today suffer greatly from a lack of proper self-image, and it affects every area of their lives. As a parent, we need to view our daughters the way God views them, because they are special, and they are gifted, and they are unique. That's why I want you to have a copy of my free tip sheet called 9 Ways to Make Your Daughter Feel Loved. For a free copy, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Enjoying this conversation. Rick Johnson is with us. How a father's love protects and empowers his daughter is what we're talking about. He's written a great book on that subject called That's My Girl, How a Father's Love, again, protects and empowers his daughter. He's the founder of a great organization called Better Dads. It's designed to empower men to lead and serve in their families and communities. He's a popular speaker, written some great books, lives in Gresham, Oregon with his wife and two adult children they have. Rick, right before the break, we talked a little bit about girls and hormones. And sometimes I say, when I'm speaking, I'll say, you know, I have three daughters. Of course, I don't have any hormones or drama in my life. And then the people laugh because, you know, anybody who's had a daughter, and not all daughters are this way, and I'm not trying to generalize every woman, but hey, hormones do get going, especially in the teen years, it seems like. You know, we felt in our life as our kids grew to go into the teen years, you know, their hormones just, you know, were in overdrive and, you know, there became tension. And sometimes the tension was directed more at Kathy than at me. But, you know, I'd kind of be in the middle of this stuff. You're finding that a dad's presence becomes extremely important, even for a teenager.
Well, one of the things I was really surprised about when I did the research for this book, in fact, the whole first chapter of this book is about the kinds of hormones and chemical activities that are taking place within our daughters' bodies, especially during puberty and adolescence.
Yeah, you called it What Are Little Girls Made Of, and where you talk about brains and hormones and all kinds of great stuff, actually. Yeah, I underlined all through it.
You know, we kind of have this stereotype about you know, teenage girls being hysterical and being illogical. But the truth is, when I did this study and looked at all the things that were taking place and going on, it is logical that they are illogical. It would really be
you need to unpack that one, by the way. You need to unpack that one for me. Say that again. It's logical that they're illogical.
That they are illogical. Okay. And, you know, I've had women comment that, well, you know, that first chapter is kind of boring, but the book's not written for women. The book is written for dads to understand what's going on. And I think, you know, because a lot of times female bodies are a bit of a mystery to us, and we don't want to think about our daughter's sexuality anyway. But I think it's important that we understand what's happening, what's going on in their bodies. And it really explains a lot of behaviors that we might not understand otherwise.
Yeah,
it's really important as a foundation, I guess, to start out
right,
there.
Right, and it's inside and outside. I know you talk about body image in this book, and you talk about the body image issues that are so huge for girls today. And you suggest that dads can actually play a vital role in encouraging their daughters to help maintain that healthy self-image, when really the culture is going quite a bit against that at times.
Well, and again, we just look at some of the things that our daughters are being exposed to on a day-to-day basis, and without dad there to provide a stabling influence, if you will, to provide her with the truth is really what it is. She's being exposed to lies all the time from people that want stuff from her, whether that's corporations or marketers or whatever.
Right.
And dad needs to be there to speak the truth. You know, you talked about a stabilizing influence, and I think in all ways dads provide that with their teenage daughters, especially when they're going through this highly dramatic time like adolescence.
Yeah. You know, talk a bit about bonding with our daughters. I know a lot of dads will speak to me and say, you know, it's easy to kind of bond with my son. We play sports, or we listen to music, or we play video games, or, you know, whatever they do. But with girls, sometimes they go, you know, she feels a little foreign to me, and I'm not really sure what to do. Or they'll say, as you were talking about, sometimes they'll be really sensitive, and they'll say, you know, I just wounded my daughter with some words, and I didn't mean to do that. And then they react where there's some anger, and, you know, they kind of lose their temper, and, you know, then you're gone, and dads feel a little bit lost. But yet the father-daughter bond, which we're kind of referring to, is so critical. You know, what are some practical ways dads can, you know, bond with their daughters?
One of the things that when we do these father-daughter conferences, which are just, I mean, they're just hard.
And Kelsey speaks with you sometimes on these things.
She does.
That's
wonderful. And one of the things that the girls, almost to a girl, because we ask them, if your dad could know one thing about you, what would you want that to be? And almost to a girl, it's, I wished he would talk to me.
Hmm.
And it's not that they want, they just want their dad's undivided attention, if you will. You know, that he cares enough to think about her when she's not around. And that's why I think notes are really important, too.
Yeah.
I found that notes with my daughter were hugely important. It allowed me to speak the things that I wanted her to hear without my inflection or facial expressions or whatever causing her to roll her eyes and shut down or whatever. And it's virtually impossible not to read a note. So I think writing is a very important thing that dads can do to bond with.
And I even remember you writing a really neat story in your book. You were talking about that you wrote her, your daughter, a note, and you didn't think it was a big deal. It was just no big deal. I just did it. But yet she reads that note regularly.
Yeah, you know, I was driving down the road with my wife one day, and we were listening to a radio program, and the speaker was talking about when she had four young children and her husband had left them, and how devastated she was, and how she was praying to God, and she heard God call her his sweet baby girl, and that everything would be okay. And I looked over, and my wife was crying. And I really didn't get it. I was like, you know, why are you crying? And she said, well, because I grew up without a dad. I can't imagine a heavenly father that would say, call me his sweet baby girl. And I'm a little dense anyway. I thought, you know, the speaker was from the South. I thought maybe that's a Southern thing. And she said, no, you call Kelsey your sweet baby girl all the time. And so when she got home, she was telling Kelsey about this. And before she got to that part, Kelsey said, well, Dad calls me his sweet baby girl all the time. And then She went on to tell her about this note that I had given her a few years before that she has on her mirror in the bathroom in her apartment. And it says something to the effect of, you know, you can't truly love yourself till you love others or something like that. But I had signed it, love you, sweet baby girl, love daddy. And she reads that every day. And I thought, you know, something so inconsequential like that is such a huge impact in her life. And I don't even think about it. I don't even remember giving it to her. And yet that's something that's so important to her.
Right. You know, I was sitting with a very good friend of mine. He was the president of Youth Specialties for years and years. His name is Tick Long. And he was, and he'll be happy for me to announce this on this radio show, he was celebrating his 60th birthday. He's now an executive pastor in a church. And for his birthday, his children came back. They don't all live in the area. And he was telling me that one of his daughters, and he couldn't get this out without crying, but he said one of his daughters said, they were doing an affirmation time to him and said, you know, Dad, I believe in God as a loving father because of you. You were a loving father to me. Well, then, you know, Tick starts crying. I start crying. Right now, my eyes are welling up with tears. I mean, we're on the phone, but, you know, it was just one of those moments. And yet in reality, what I heard was that many times our daughters, especially if they want to know what a loving heavenly father looks like, if they had a dad who was doing that, it's easier. If they didn't, then it's harder for them to understand the unconditional, loving, sacrificial love of God.
Well, exactly. I mean, if your father abandons you, think of the risk that you take with the creator of the universe, with the heavenly father, that he might abandon you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a significant challenge, I think, that a lot of women face.
Rick, we don't have much time left, but you said something in your book that absolutely got me. You said perhaps the most important thing a girl needs from her father is for him to be consistent.
Yeah, I think that consistency, again, especially during the turmoil of adolescence, is a strong, strong thing. But I think consistent in, you know, there are probably three things that every girl needs to hear from her dad. And I love you. And she needs to hear that a lot. She needs to know that you love her mom and that you'll always be there for her, that nothing she can ever do will ever change the fact that you're her father. And I think if a dad can be consistent in those areas, you know, those are the things that really provide a solid foundation for her to be able to develop and go out in life on.
That's great input. Listen, you've got to come back next time so we can keep unpacking this great topic, Rick. Can you come back?
I'd love to.
Great. Rick Johnson with us, How a Father's Love Protects and Empowers His Daughter. Important stuff. And you know what? Your daughters do need to know that they are loved. And we dads can't ever say that enough and then act upon it as well. Roger?
Well, today, Jim, here on the program, good conversation for us dads, especially as we're gearing up for Father's Day. If you're listening to the podcast, I realize you might already have the programs for Beyond Father's Day, and you could start that podcast subscription at homeward.com. Hit the podcast button. It'll redirect you to our site on iTunes. But today we're talking about how a father's love protects and empowers his daughter. Rick Johnson with us by telephone. We'll have part two of this conversation on the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast. And Jim, as we talk about these issues between fathers and daughters, a big one these days is money. And we talk about stewardship and think, well, that's something that you talk about in church. But as parents, we need to be more proactive about talking with our kids about money. We have new resources here that we can discuss that help parents have that conversation about this important topic.
Well, Roger, not too long ago, I was speaking to a group of several hundred kids on the subject of stewardship, of all things. It's not the subject they usually want to talk about. But I asked them, do you really know what the word stewardship means? And one kid even said, yeah, it's when your dad gives you $50. Not exactly what stewardship is all about. But obviously, there's a lot more to stewardship than just giving over money to your kids. And I'm concerned that we parents could do a much better job of talking to our kids about money and about saving, spending, yeah, giving, and even investing. That's why I am so glad that our good friends at Steadfast Companies have partnered with us in creating this new set of tip sheets on stewardship. They're based on a series of well-known Bible stories that should be fairly easy for our kids to understand, and they also include some practical tips that your whole family can use to start looking at issues like giving and saving and investing from a more eternal perspective.
Yes, these are great tip sheets, and we are so grateful to our friends at Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment trust company who have a heart for ministry and heart for family, and the Steadfast has partnered with us here at Homeward to create these tip sheets. When you go to homeward.com, hit the Articles and Media button, and it'll take you right to where the tip sheets are. In the keyword area there, just write in Steadfast. STEADFAST. You'll find a couple of tip sheets there. You can read them. You can print them out. You can download them, push them all to your friends. And these are something a mom and dad, if you're raising your kids together, as many families who listen to Homeward are, this is something you can get on the same page on literally before having that dialogue with your kids. If you're a single parent, you can still take the initiative and start having a conversation with your son or daughter about money. And that's something that's very, very important and something we highly recommend. So go to homeward.com, articles and media section, keyword steadfast, STEADFAST. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.